we are in Kuf Yud Beis, Halacha Yud Beis. Im Ofa Oivik Kecham Hapas, the Lord Chid Yisrael Uvaloi Kisem. The Goy baked the bread, and the Yid did not participate at all in the baking. He didn't do anything. So what's the din? A few Karmu Pnei Hapas, Tanur, even if the Pas reached the level of Karmu Pnei Hapas, we'll see what that means in a second, still, Moel Chid Yisrael, Kol Zman Shapas Tzorech Tanur, Umashpirech Baf Yosef, Adayim. The Yid can still add to do something to the cooking. He could do chitui, even if the bread is already past the point of karmu pnei hapas, as long as it still needs some part in the baking, that's good enough. Yesh mishamer, and those who say shafil hoitzi hapas, even if they took the bread out of the oven, yesh takon lachziru l'tanur adei yisrael u'mashbiach. There are those who hold it. You could still put it back into the oven. And the Yid could do that part of it, if it's Mashbiach, if there's still something to be gained from putting it back in. Okay, so first is, this word, the Mechaber...
Is this by Bishul or is this by Afiyo?
We're talking about Afiyo. Okay, we're talking about Pas. So the first thing is, the Mechaber said that the food was baked by the Goy and it was Kormu by the Pas. It got like some kind of a crust on it. Okay, and what does that mean? So the Chalkas Binyamin makes... is Medayik from a Gemara in Shabbos. The Rebbe Yonan Kohen, the son of a final Kohen for the Baal Yishon. He has a sefer on Bishul and Pasagel, and on many other things. So he makes a deek from
it's okay.
But makes a deek from a Gemara in Shabbos that Karmu Pnei Hapas means that when I first read, I thought the word Karmu Pnei Hapas meant that it was like fully baked. It even had like a crust to it. He says, no, it means that it's Kamachal Ben Drusoy. It's equivalent to a food which is
Kamachal Ben Drusoy.
And then the first part of the Shabbos.
Okay, yes, that's correct. That you're correct. That's where he brings it from. The karma pnei hapas means that it's kamachal ben drusoy, and the food is partially edible. Cooked. Okay, it's partially edible. So
they dive on all sides of the bread.
That's a machlokes. That's a machlokes. For our purposes, that sort of not negated to us. Whatever it is, it's kamachal ben drusoy. It's passably edible, but it's not fully cooked. Okay, whatever. It's a big shiloh whether it's all the on all sides. Okay, now. The Gemara says,
"I like it. I buy it."
The Gemara says that if a Yid cooked the food, he cooked it that much. Then, even though they took it off the fire, they did whatever they wanted. The Goy could cook later on; it doesn't make a difference. It's ready for the show, and it's more. And our din is talking about the opposite case. Okay, that thing that I just mentioned to you, which is that the Yid did the beginning of the cooking, is in Kuf Yud Gimel Halacha Ches. Okay, and our din, and the svara is, once the Yid made it, it's Bishul Yisrael. He made
edible.
It to the point that it's edible to Bishul Yisrael. The Goy can't ruin that. It already is Bishul Yisrael. And our din is going to talk about the opposite case, where the Goy made it to be Kamachal Ben Drusoy, or Karmu Pnei Hapas. The Goy made it partially, passably edible, and at this point it's not Bishul Yisrael yet. Could the Yid, in our case, Pasul, can the Yid come and do something Pasul afterwards? Okay? So the question is like this. What we have to discuss is like this. And our din, we're going to see in Kuf Yud Gimel Halacha Tes, okay, Halacha Ches was that if the Yid did the first part of the cooking, it stays mutter for good. Halacha Tes brings 2 days. The Rosh says that what happens if the Goy did the beginning of the cooking? The Rosh says that if the Yid does the end of the cooking, that's fine. The bread becomes mutter. It was also at the beginning, it becomes mutter at the end. That's what the Rosh says.
The Bishul.
Yes. And then the Rashba says that no, once the Goy did the beginning of the cooking, it's farfallen, you can't do anything about it anymore, and the Yid can't take it back. Okay? What's the din? The Ramah passes like the Rosh, he's Mekel. And the Mechaber says the din is like the Rashba, that once the Goy made a Bishul Akum, it's Osir. Except the Mokum have some Rubo or some Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos. Okay, so whatever it is, he says it's Mutter. Okay, so according to the Ramah, he says over there that it's by Bishul Akum. He says, Befer, we pass like the Rosh.
Yeah.
So who are then over here also? Here's Pasakum. It's the same din also, you'd be Mekel. Okay, and the Ramah Lachar is not saying it here because he's relying that on Kuf Yud Gimel, he's going to say that din over there, that he passes like the Rosh. The question is.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
It's very similar to what he does by Bishul Yisrael. But the Sfardi, the Mechaber would be more Machmer than the Ramah.
Well, our question. question is.
Well, it seems over here.
Our question is going to be we have two questions. The two questions are that the machaber over here does not seem to be the same as the machaber over there. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have in two angles. One we'll talk about a little more, and one a little less. Two ways that the machaber does not seem to be the same here by Paz as he does over there by Bishl. The first one is that the machaber starts off by saying, if the guy did the beginning of the cooking until it was Kamacha ben Jusoy, or Karmu Pnei Paz, the machaber says the yid can do the end of the cooking. If the yid does the end of the cooking, that makes it mutter. He says even if he makes the end of the cooking, that's mutter, as long as the food still needs a little bit more baking, meaning it's not completely cooked. The yid can still participate, which sure sounds like what the Rosh says. Okay?
But
what do you say?
The mashal cooking, let's say it's like 99%
ready. No, the machaber, we're not going to talk about that here. When Kufi tests, when we get to your Gimel test, we'll talk about it here. We're talking about Pasuk here. The machaber says if it was Kamaycha ben Jusoy, the equivalent of Kamaycha ben Jusoy, if the yid finishes off the cooking, that's good enough.
It was more than I was going to say. It was 95% cooking.
We'll talk about that when we get to the Kufi Gimel. We'll talk about that. But the point is the machaber is saying that the yid could do the end of the cooking at its mutter, and the machaber over there says that if the yid does the end of the cooking, it's not enough. If he says, b'mokken, you know, b'mekum, hefzer, you could be talking about that. But basically, he's paskens lahachmer. So why over here is the machaber saying that it's is being makel and say the yid can do the end of the cooking, and over there the machaber says that the yid cannot do the end of the cooking.
Are we already makel by pas?
What? So you say maybe it's only cooler by pas? Yeah. Okay, you could say that. You could say, and maybe, and we're getting to that, is maybe that's what the Gra holds, because the Gra learns these dinim exactly the way I just said it to you. That the machaber's day over here is like the Rosh, the machaber over there is like the Raj, but he doesn't say how to answer the kasha. He doesn't like even ask it as a question. And maybe he'll say by pas v'lekel, by bishul v'machmer, maybe such a thing. Maybe it could be such a shito. It could be. I don't see people saying that, but maybe that's what it is. Okay, I don't know what to say about the Gra, because the Gra learned the way I just described it to you, and he doesn't even ask it as a question, like how it seems to be a steal. Okay. However, the answer to the question really, I think, is very straightforward. And that is like this. A drop of history, if you'll excuse me. When the Beis Yosef wrote his Pirush on the Torah, okay, it's called the Beis Yosef, okay, he then reviewed that Pirush that he wrote, and he wrote Hakoyos on that, and he called that Beda Kabayis. Okay, he wrote other things that are called Beda Kabayis. So this din in Kuf Yud Beis, our din that we just saw, Halacha Yud Beis, is the very last piece of Beis Yosef in Hilchos Pasachim. It's not in the same word we have here. It's the very last one. And at the end, it says three words, V'ayin, Ayin B'Simen Shabbosamach. See the coming Simen. Okay, now, he doesn't know what he means. Okay, it doesn't say what he means. What do you see in the next Simen? What is he trying to tell you? So, for now, you'll see that I think a more reasonable thing I'm right. We'll assume that he means to say is, over here I'm telling you that the din is, that it's mutter. And in the Simen Shabbosamach, you're going to find out there's reason to think that it's usher. Okay? That's conjecture, okay? But the reason why I'm conjecturing that is because when you go to the Beis Yosef in Kuf Yud Gimel Halacha Tes, where he brings this Rosh and Rajba, in the middle of his discussion, there's also a Beda Kabayis, okay? And there the Beda Kabayis brings a Rabbein Yerucham, okay? And the Rabbein Yerucham says like this. He says, Rabbein Yerucham brings both days, he brings the 2 days, and he says, even those who are machmir to say that the Yid can't do the end of the cooking, I mean, the Rajba, he brings the Rajba, can't do the end of the cooking, even though it's a machmir, they're only machmir if the guy did his part, took it out of the oven. But if the food stayed in the oven, and the guy just did the beginning of the cooking, the yid didn't show up until it was partially cooked,
and then he was mighty.
And then the yid did something while the food was still in the oven, before it came out of the oven, everyone agrees that it's mutter over there.
That's what baking is.
What? But meaning, the guy put it to the oven. Let's say it takes a half an hour to bake.
Right.
20 minutes in, the yid walked in and it was already partially cooked. The yid could still finish. If the yid finishes cooking, everyone holds it.
That's not a new
official.
And
that's how you bake bread.
What do you mean that's how you bake
bread?
It's still in the oven. As opposed to the machorkas, the rajba, and the rosh, is where the guy did his part of the cooking. He did par baked bread like we have. A guy did partially baked it. They took it out and they shipped it to Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, it's partially baked. And now the yid took it out of there and did the end of the baking. That's where the machlokes is. But in the case where it's still in the oven from the original cooking that the guy did, there everyone.
I thought the machlokes between the rush and the rush was only mentioned by Bishul.
But the machlokes is the same as Bishul. Even by Bishul, if the guy cooked it part of the way. It's still on the fire, the yid
But when the rush and the rush are speaking, they're going in the case of bishul.
They happen to be, right? But there's no reason to say you could say that we go like one by bishul and one by pas. It could be such a thing. They don't say that. There's no indication of that. But the Rabbi Yuch on this thing, when the Beis Yosef is correcting what he wrote over there, he brings it. You should know Rabbi Yerucham says that even the machmirim in that thing in halacha test, the Rashba, who's machmirim with the Yid, in Kufi Gimel, when he finishes off the baking, that's only in a case with the Yid, with the thing that left the fire. But if it stayed on, it would be mortar, and we would understand it, okay? He doesn't say what it means, but we understand it is that if the guy cooked food, or he baked food, and he finished, he did his thing, the food is also. Sort of like we say, Chanan. Once he finished the thing, it's also, it became also. But so if I want to now come and make another cooking and somehow fix it, that's the machlokes of my extra cooking could somehow fix it, because it was already stocked as being
bishul. Well, I don't know if you have
to come back. In this case, where it's still on the fire, the cooking to get it to be even kamach ben joshoy, the guy did part of the cooking, and I'm involved in the same cooking. It's not I did a different act to do this thing. In the same cooking that the guy did, I also participated. So in there, the Rabbi Yerucham is saying, everyone holds that since I'm in the same cooking, I did. So it's not so important whether I did it first or second. It's as opposed to if it's in a separate cooking, then the first cooking is over. The thing that made it par baked or par cooked is over. That thing is now nikva, is being usher, and it is bishlagim. And the rush now has to be machadish, that you can make it, turn it back into being mut. Okay. Whatever.
Does it help here?
So what helps over here is, what happens is, now you look back in the machaber, you'll see that the machaber is meduyik, that he means to say this. Because the machaber says, the first case in the machaber has two cases.
In
Yud Beis. In Halach, in Kuf Yud Beis, Halach Yud Beis. And if you read it simply, you think he's talking about the first case and the second case are a mekel, the yesh aymrim, another din, on the same case. It's not true. The second case is the yesh mishayimah shafilu haitzi hapas. The second case is we took the bread out of the oven. Meaning the first case is where you didn't take the bread out of the oven. The bread is still in the oven the whole time. The guy started the cooking. The bread is still in the oven, and then the yid went to do his tikkun to fix it up. That's the reason why he's being makel in the first in the beginning of halacha. He's being makel because the bread is still in the oven. It never left the oven. Based on what Rabbeinu Yerucham says, as opposed to in Kuf Yud Gimel, there the bread came out, the food came off the fire. That's when there's a machlokes to Rashi b'Nosh.
And with the machlokes paskin the following that if the it seems over here that if it was fully baked, the challah was fully baked, it came out of the tanur, so the yid did not want this to be passed, so he put it back and says, let it bake. Even though it was fully baked, I'll bake it another minute.
So,
that's what it seems
so
like.
So that's sort of what Yossi was talking about before. We're going to wait. I'm not going to answer that question. And Mitzvah Shem and Kuf Yud Gimel Tez.
I want you to come back.
That's right. And Kuf Yud Gimel
Tez. I'm going to answer you with her.
You had no Havim?
I thought it was fully baked.
So it's a question. Emir Tashem.
It was almost fully baked.
Emir Tashem.
I mean, well, let's say putting on the poppy seeds or anything.
That's not part of the baking.
Okay.
Trying to think of really a Metzias that when it came out, it was baked, and then what you could do.
So I'm going to ask you to be
three
patient.
3 months from now.
Be patient.
3 months.
If you'd give him a look. Two things that we're not talking about over here. One is that child.
We're not talking about Metzias.
No, we're not talking about that child. Till how long can the yid save? Is there an end? Does it get so baked that the yid can't save it? That's for there. And the second child we're going to talk about there also is whether the coolers that you have of how you make pas yisrael, which we hadn't told now, we sorry, keys him here. Does that also apply in this case? Or do you have to maybe do something more to save it once it's ready? Those are going to be problems.
So it
reads
on the yesh mishayimer.
The yesh mishayimer.
That's the rush sheet though. When he holds you the bread.
That's the rush. That's just Yesh Mishab. We're going to get that in a second. Hold on a second. Okay. Now, another way to see that the Mechaber in Kuf Yud Beis does not mean to Paskin, like the rush. You're not trying to say that, which, I mean, the simplest way to say that is because if you look in Beis Yosef, he doesn't say a word about it. Okay? He brings other people, this is based on other people. It's surprising that he doesn't bring, and that's why the Beis Yosef says, I am Simon Shabbat Sarmuch, because you're not really getting the whole story over here. Okay, but anyhow, but the Beis Yosef brings this in from a Sefer Ogur, who's bringing a Shari Dura. Okay, just for your perspective of where things are, I'm going to hear the next name in a second. The Sefer Shari Dura is from a Talmud of Maram Rumberg. Okay, and the Sefer, the Ramah wrote another Sefer called Teres Chatas. Okay. That Sefer Teres Chatas, and we're going to, I'm telling you, you'll see why I'm saying this in a second, follows the order of the Sefer Shari Dura.
Okay.
Did it come later? Did the Sherry do it? Didn't the Maram Rabbah come after the Ramah?
No.
Before.
So the came before
the first half.
The Rebbe of the Rosh.
Rosh.
Rosh? The Rebbe of the Rosh.
Uh-huh. So they have a story with him.
The Taras Chatas follows the order of the Shari Dura. Okay, you see, if you ever looked at his sefer, it looks funny. It says this is Simon Chof Beis and Chof Gimel. Why couldn't he just give it one number? Because he's following the order of the Shari Dura, and he says in the Hatamba, the reason why I'm following that order because everybody's got the sefer in their house. So I want to, this is like, sort of like not
make exactly, it easy,
like a kitzur shofar. Everybody's got it in their house. He doesn't mean it because he says exactly the opposite. Everyone has the sefer in their house, so I want people to understand, and I'm going to follow his order. It'll be easy. That's just perspective of who the Shari Dura is. Okay, so the Shari Dura brings the sefer Ogre brings from a Shari Dura. Okay, and what the Beis Yosef brings is word for word from the sefer Ogre. Okay, but the Shari Dura says it a drop different than the way the sefer Ogre brings. I'm going to tell you what it says in the Shari Dura. The way he describes the first case, he says, Kozman Dahavi Hapas Betanur, Yochul Hachsha Hatanur could go in a certain way. Okay, so he makes a point that his first case is Kozman that the pas is in the Tanur, you could do the following. When he describes the second case in the Mechaber is really these two din. When he describes the second case, he says, Im Shochach Vo Hichsha Hatanur, Ukvar Hoitzi Hapas. Okay, and as in the first case, the food is still in the oven, you can do like this. If you already took it out, then we have a shayla like this. Okay, so he's even more clear that he's trying to make this point, which the Rabbi Yeruchim says, which is really what our din is saying, is that there's a difference between whether the food ever left the oven. If it left the oven, then we have the machlokes, the Rajb and the Rosh. But if the food is still in the oven from the original baking, then we don't have a machlokes, and the yid could finish it off. Okay, that's how he learns that there's no machlokes. Now, you could say, I can't tell you for sure, that's what the Rashba holds. Okay, you could say that the Rabbein Yeruchim is saying that in the Shittas Rashba, but the Rashba might argue that. You could potentially say that, but it doesn't seem. In other words, Rabbein Yeruchim is saying that even the Machmirim are moed in this case. Okay, whether the Machmirim will agree to that, I can't tell you. Maybe they won't. I mean, he brings the Rashba, but the Mechaber is passing like that day that says even the Machmirim will be makel if the food never left the fire. Okay. Now, second question is, and the Mechaber is at the end of the. At the end of our din, okay, the Mechaber says, unchallenged, he says, Yesh Misha Omer, that the Rosh is right. Okay? He says, Yesh Misha Omer, that even if the bread came out of the oven,
you could still put it back in.
Okay, so he's saying the Rosh. And he's saying it over here, unchallenged. He's just been Yesh Misha Omer, which is not such an unusual way for the Mechaber to say, Yesh Misha Omer. Yesh Misha Omer is not arguing on the first day, it's a new thing. Yesh Misha Omer, there are those who say that if you took the bread out, you could still make it back into Pas Yisrael. So he seems to be bringing the Rosh as is, yet in Kufyud Gimel Tes, he brings it only as a B'maklum B'shas HaTchak, and in all kinds of, you know, cases that are, you know, Erev Shabbos, like that, you can't be made. Okay? So that's another version of the same question. And over here, so this is a same, it's another version of the same question that I'm asking you, okay? Here, he just brings the Yesh Misha Omer, why doesn't he bring that he doesn't really pass like that, Yesh Misha Omer? Okay, so there are potential answers.
Like you were saying.
That's correct. That's what Chavis Pyom wants to say your answer. He wants to answer that question. That there's no makar to it. You get the feeling.
You see so many differences where we're makel by pas akum or pas palter. You see, there's gulas.
I know, but what irks me is how come no one's mentioning this thing, how come it says Yesh Misha Omer, but see later on that he's going to pass him different for Bishlak or something like that.
What did Ephraim say?
They don't. That's a shame. Right, so on the first question, I'm not bothered on the first.
Even your turn bothers me. Say something.
It's in the bed. Oh, yeah, Brichol says, go look at the bed of Kabayas and you'll see that he explains that this is a different case than that case. The first part, it's coming right out of the bed of Kabayas. The Beis Yosef explains to you why he's saying differently in this case. That's good. Maybe it's not, but that I understand. I'm saying, so you want to see? You see the Brichol says like that. For the second part is what bothers me. The first part is, I'm saying the first part doesn't bother me as much because here is in the Bedekabai himself, he tells you what he means. So maybe someone should have spoken it out, but it doesn't bother me as much as the second one. The second one is even, is that one, now we're sort of, we got rid of the first one, but the first second one is still saying the Rosh Hashita. Okay. Okay, one more question, which is, and this is just a Bekiyas question. Okay. Al Mechaber said, the end of the din said, that if you took the beginning of the din said, that if it was karmu p'nei hapas, then the yid could do chitui to make the food be pas Yisrael.
Okay, that's what it said. So the Minchas Yaakov, who's on the Torah's Chatas, that's why I mentioned it, on this din, asks a kasha. Abakiya's kasha. He says, in Hilchos Shabbos, it says, you're allowed to put bread into the Mechaber brings it in, you're allowed to put bread into the oven if it's baked, if it reaches the stage of being Kamat Ben Trusoy, you're allowed to put it in, into the oven before Shabbos, because, what's the reason why? Because no one's going to be Mechata. No, it's not fully cooked yet. It's only partially cooked. It's only Kamat Ben Trusoy. So we would have said...
You're like a chomp, right?
You're a chomp. We would have said that the reason why you're allowed to do that is because no one has an incentive to stir it up, because it's basically edible anyhow. So you don't have so much to gain. We're not afraid someone's going to slip and make a mistake. It's basically edible anyhow. Okay, but the Rambam says, okay, I don't know this, but he brings the Beis Yosef on that and says that the Rambam says that the reason is because chitui ruins the bread. Okay? When the bread is already at the point of karmu p'nei ha'pras, being machatim b'kachon ruins the bread. Now, I'm not a baker, so what I'm assuming that he means is...
That's Rabbi Schwartz.
I'm assuming the reason is because when you're baking in an oven that doesn't have a thermostat, so when bread gets to a certain point, now it just needs to be kept hot and to finish off its baking. But if you stir up the coals and make it extra hot, you're going to burn the bread. I'm guessing at some point. As opposed to in our ovens, it has a thermostat to keep it from getting too hot. If here, if you stir it up, you might bake it. I don't know what. So it's not my problem why it is. But the Rambam says the reason is because it's not that we're not choisher some will do it because they don't have such an incentive, but we know that no one's going to be mechata b'kacholim because being mechata would ruin the bread at this point. It's bad for the bread. So, Frank Mechsiakov, how can you say over here that the Yid could help make it pass this wrong? By being Mechata B'Gecholim, what the Yid's doing is ruining the bread. So how can it be that you're allowed, the way you make it pass this wrong is by ruining the bread? That doesn't make any sense.
This is the first, it has to be Mashbiach
Afiyasa. Mashbiach Afiyasa means is that it's not fully cooked. So it cooks for 20 minutes out of 30. So it has... No. If you would say that the Yid can do something at this point, while the baking is not over yet, then the Yid participate in the baking. But if the thing he does is something that ruins the baking,
that's what I'm saying. A situation where it's still, he's saying that it has to be mashpiach.
I understood that the word mashpiach is that the bread still has what to go, as opposed to what he's saying. What Moshe was saying was that the bread is 100% baked already, and at this point you're going to ruin
it. It still needs to be baked. And
it'll be a little harder.
It could be that there's different levels of korban pas.
Okay.
At some points the chitui will help, and sometimes it will ruin it. So.
I mean, you might like a soft pas, you might like a hard pas.
The chitui has to be done when it's going.
So you're understanding. That tzorach hatanur means is a tzorach chitui betanur. Or it can benefit from the chitu in the time. He says it's tzorach the time means it still needs another 10 minutes to bake. Now the way the Rambam was, it needs 10 more minutes, but it doesn't need to be stirred.
You're not gonna touch it.
It needs 10 more minutes in the oven. You're saying it needs 10 more minutes and which the soaking also to help it bake.
Right.
Okay. He didn't understand that way because the Mechaber could be read to just mean that it just needs more time in the oven.
I hear.
So he wants to say doichik teretz. He says it's a doichik that maybe since for pas Yisrael you only need a hecker. The Yid only has to just show that he's involved. So a hecker can even be if it ruins the bread. Who cares? As long as he had to do something. He did something. So he was, he did something. He helped
out. We're now the building. It's a hecker.
The bread that he wants to
use.
He says himself that it's a duck. He says, it's hard to believe that even if you need a hecker, Lahore, you got to do something that's useful rather than, least not hurtful. How can it be you're going to ruin it? He says it's a duck.
You're telling me you're going to eat. Why would you ruin the bread if you want to eat?
No, because you want to show that I have to participate. You can't eat unless I cook.
You're
hecker can't be that I throw my shoe at the oven. Right? That's not a hecker. The point hecker means I do something baking related. So soaking coals is like
the only reason you're doing the hecker is to give you a hecker to eat the bread. If you're ruining the bread in the process, you defeat the purpose of making the hecker.
Okay. He says it's better. What can I tell you? That's what he says.
Let's say I like it a hard crust. He likes it a soft crust. Where does the...
You're ruining it. Okay? But you're still baking it. There is a truth to also. It's not a complete ruin. You're not taking it, smashing it up like it's worse than it was before. Avad is better than it was before. Avad is better. But chito is something you don't want to normally do. Like Shabbos, you don't normally want to do it.
You're scared to
because,
the food.
Right. Because it comes out better without the chito.
Yeah, so chito, what you did help or hurt, what you did was it good or bad?
It hurts, but it makes it worse than it would have made otherwise.
Right. So you hurt. So he might say you did something that was bad for the So he's saying is that you didn't throw a shoe at the oven. You did something that has to do with the baking process. Because it makes baking happen. It makes baking happen in a bad way, but at least it's making baking happen.
How long does it have to bake?
You're doing something in the baking of it. You overbaked it, but at least you did something for baking. At least you did something. Okay.
There's a difference. In Shabbos, we're nowhere afraid.
His doichik is
still a hacker.
It's all you need is a hacker. Even a bad hacker, even a hacker that ruins a hacker. Why?
That's all about
Right.
So what does it mean?
You're telling me, according to those who hold that from Bishul Akma doesn't work? But he's
the Rosh.
Luckily for us, we're in Pas Akum, okay? We're talking about in Pas.
But Pas Akum, Hekka Bahama helps.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's okay. Yeah, there's a difference
between
Shabbos
and
this case.
That could be the
Shabbos, we're afraid that you might do something like this by roof. Covering a father. So a person might not realize what's going on, and everyone will just go and stoke a fire. So, but here you're consciously stoking a fire, maybe you'll do it, since you're consciously doing it, you might do it in a way that's not going to ruin the bread.
Okay, so that's the point. His answering is that if you just, an oven, it needs 10 more minutes. Nobody would stoke it because that's going to ruin it. In the next 10 minutes, you're going to ruin it. But if you want to be extra careful, you're doing a special job. You're stoking it, and then you'll readjust it, or you'll take it out early, or something like that. You can maybe somehow save it and not ruin the bread. Right. We're trying to say, and it's possible, if you have a special focus, I'm trying to save my bread, I'll stoke it, it'll get a little hotter, so therefore I'll move it a little higher, or I'll move it to the side,
I'll take it out early.
As opposed to the Rambam on Shabbos, is talking about the guy is just walking by the oven, and he might, we have no chash he's going to do that, because no normal person would do that. But here you make a special point, you can do that. Okay, maybe that's the answer. That's not what the mix is. No, that's a good answer. Okay, I didn't say any better answers, don't worry. So it's a... okay.